Good afternoon. Welcome to The Journey 8. I'm your host, Reverend Judy Hosner, and I invite you to sit back and take a few moments to breathe as we share this journey together.
Well, good afternoon, and here we are on what looks like a very cloudy day in Greensboro, but we're going to get through this with no thunder. I am pleased today to have a gentleman that I've been looking forward to talking to, Mr. Kevin Lambert. He's going to speak to us about what I have not heard other than his music. Hip-hop gospel. I am jazzed about this. I mean, when I saw his bio, I just said, I gotta hear from the horse's mouth how this came about. So I'm gonna ask Mr. Engineer to bring on Kevin, and let's get going.
Great.
Okay,
are Hello. You there? Yes, I'm here. Hi.
Hi. Welcome to The Journey 8.
Well, thank you. It's a pleasure to be on the air with you. I did hear you mentioning about the style of music that we do. It's a brand new genre. We call it R&P for Rhythm and Praise. And what it is, yeah. And it's a mixture of that feels good R&B with a mixture of a hip hop with a, you know, the new trending style of that, and then also the feel of gospel in regards to the lyrics, the good news, and just sending a message of love and hope. And
And I would assume that this appeals mostly to the under 30 crowd.
Well, you know, I had a song called "You Got Somebody," and it went to number 5 on the Billboard charts. And even though it was gospel in the sense, but we call it R&P, it charted mainstream R&B hip hop single sales. And what I found with that particular song, from babies to 80. Just really have embraced it, you know, because of just the positivity in the music, the spirituality, the content that's in it. It feels good, you know, and so it really just has had an opportunity to be limitless and you know, the color barrier, age barriers. But primarily, you know, our focus is going after the young people because, you know, they're so desensitized to, you know, to the lyrical content that's coming at them, and they're just being inundated with, I mean, lyrics that are just unmentionable. And yes. It matters what you say. It really does. And it matters what you take in. And so with that, we came with R&P, Rhythm and Praise.
Rhythm and Praise. I love it. Yeah, and one of the things I do whenever I choose through the bios of people is that I try and line up people who have positive messages because even the older adults, all they hear on TV and on the radio is negativity. And one of the things in my sermon today is the power of music. You know, music that has power in it. And, you know, if people could just listen to positive music, their life would be so much different.
Well, I couldn't agree with you more. You know, I am currently working with Malia McKinney, who's an award-winning songwriter, who I've partnered with in a company called Conscious Music Entertainment. And with Conscious Music, we are working with the Dave Baker Foundation, which is Music for AIDS. We're working with, we worked with MuseArt World Foundation, bringing music and art back into the schools for those schools that can't get funding for their art programs. But most of all, showing the significance and the power of music. Yes, we can talk about all the negative manifestations that take place from the negative music, but you know what? How can we show a force of what we can do by utilizing conscious music and music that has a meaning and says something? For me, it's a little more personal because you know I look at the likes of Louis Armstrong singing "I Want to Be in That Number When the Saints Come Marching In," and when they looked at that number and they saw that it was 144,000, then the text says, and I look back, and it was a number that no man could count. Well, I know I'm pretty good with a calculator, but this was a number that no man could count going into the gates of heaven. But the one thing about them all, they could all sing one song.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, so I think that when we look at the power of music and how music has affected our world and our own personal lives, we realize that there's some validity and I agree with you wholeheartedly that it is important what we listen to and what we feed out there. And we're just coming with a hostile takeover as far as just, I mean, you see it with Pharrell with his new song, Happy. You know, everybody's ready to reach out into that realm of positivity, but we've got to get over these trends, these fads that have been set in place to make, you know, especially in the urban community where the gangster, hip-hop, thug, murder, you know, dope game, all of that type of thing is just being just shoved down their face in a way that says, hey, that's cool. That's the way that, you know, that is the hot thing. And I'm not putting anybody down. I'm saying step up with us. Go conscious, America. Take a look at the fact that it does matter what you say. The power of life and death is in the tongue. And we need to send a new message out there that's about love, hope, peace, something for our brothers and sisters to gravitate to. And so that's what we hope to do, and the power of it. I mean, we're helping the Dave Baker Foundation. People don't even realize that between the ages of 15 and 24, one in four are infected with HIV and don't know it. One in four.
That's
we've got a song called Music Can Heal the World that's just phenomenal. We can't wait to bring it back on your show, and we plan to release it in the fourth quarter. You know, conscious music is just exploding right now. And again, I give all praise to my partner, Mia McKinney, who's just a phenomenal songwriter. And, you know, we did the We Are Hope song with my sister, Sheila Ray Charles, who's the daughter of Ray Charles. And, you know, her life is all about conscious music and bringing out positive energy with her music, too. So she actually leaves for Switzerland tomorrow, and we're just, you know, we're taking it all across the world.
And all across the world is way that we need to think, because, you know, here in America, we're just a piece of the pie. You know, there's people out there that have not even heard of Jesus yet. And it's our job to bring them an uplifting message. You know, music overcomes a lot of things. And I did, when I was doing research for this sermon today, I was amazed at some of the information. I tried to include some of it in the sermon, but, you know, I think you guys are doing a really good thing. You know, I'm a child of the 60s, and mm-hmm. you know, we were protesters. But, mm-hmm. you know, the music then had some meaning. And, you know, I guess you could call me a mezzo soprano. And okay. I love contemporary gospel music.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I like all kinds of music. And how did you get started with the
rhythm and praise?
The religious part of it. Were you raised? Is this a conversion or?
Yeah, well, I mean, I've always, you know, I always grew up believing that God was there to help me. You know, my mother would, you know, I'd come home from school. The school nurse says you have asthma. She'd bring in Reverend David Head. We'd pray. She'd say, no, you don't have asthma. Go play. So I always had a sense that God was there for me and to protect me. But, you know, I grew a relationship with him, as so many do, just through experiences and seeing him manifest himself in my life, and really just being fearless enough to open up and talk with him, and yep. to have him manifest myself and talk to him in a real way, where it wasn't about some, you know, out of this world God, but an inside me God that gave me a fingerprint that no man who ever lived or died could duplicate, that cared just about me and wanted to know the desires of my heart, and that he would give me guidance and comfort me in times of need, and that relationship grew and developed. And when my mother died, I said, I want to sing what's in my heart. I told God, I said, I want to sing for you, and I want to sing your praises and about the things that you've shown me in my life and this gift you've given me. But God, I'm not your traditional gospel. I said, I'm kind of funky. He said, yeah, me too. and he said, so we can do it. And bam, You Got Somebody took off, went number 5 in the country, and I knew it was God, because we're talking about Jesus, but it didn't stop from radio playing. It didn't stop anything, because, you know, God's pouring his spirit out during these times. So in answer to your question, it's something that I just continually grew up in and have continued each day to have a personal relationship with him. And he directs my paths and shows me, you know, praise God, how to write hits, songs for his kingdom, make people want to jump out and say, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. There's power in it.
Where's your home base? Are
you on the road?
Huh?
On the road.
On the road. Like most musicians.
Right. I've been based out of Atlanta, but I've been traveling quite a bit. I've been working, doing Rep the Peace rallies, Rock the Block, where we go right into the hood projects, wherever, go in and we set up and we give out food, hot dogs, burgers, pops, and so forth. But just go out and rock the block, love on them. We talk to them about different awareness campaigns, such as the Dave Baker Foundation, as I was saying, with the AIDS awareness program. But most of all, God said, with love and kindness do I draw thee near. So we don't go out saying, hey, you guys got a problem, you know, you're not living right. We go out, rock the block, turn up these amps, let's eat, let us let you know that we love you and that we're concerned. And so we're right here in the zone. We're not saying, hey, come on, gather your stuff and come to church with us. No, we brought church right to you.
And that's, in my opinion, one of the movements. When I chose what I was going to do once I was ordained, I chose internet radio because I wanted to go to where they are. You know,
exactly.
A lot of people, and I'll include my son, who's pushing 40 now, but you know, when he was a teenager, we lived in Los Angeles, and trying to keep him out of the, you know, the gangs and the drugs and stuff was a full-time job. I mean, just amazing the brainwashing that goes on with these kids.
Oh, yeah. you know, all in the effort of trying to be cool. But, you know, it's you know, it's definitely something that if you don't have a handle on it, it will take over. It will definitely, you know, and that's the design. It's designed. It's set up out there to trap those kids in that lifestyle, you know, and I pray to God that your son is on the right track. But I know that there's a lot of mothers and fathers and grandmothers that are, you know, extremely concerned about those very issues, and thus conscious music entertainment.
You know, I believe a lot of that is, as they're growing up with videos and stuff, they learn that it's cool. You know, they have video games that, you know, and it's unfortunate that you can't keep them from it. I mean, there's no way that you can jail them. You know, they're going to see this stuff. And all I can say is thank God for people like you that are willing to, you know, go in the hood, give them some hot dogs, like you said, and just sit and talk to them. You know?
Love on them. That's it. That's right. Just love on them, because, you know, you think it's being done. But you can't imagine how many young men especially that I've looked to and that have never had another man tell them that they love them and that they, you know, and to instill within them. You know, the H-13 project is another thing that we're working on, and it's a part of the Big Boys Club. And Big Boys is, you know, real men do real things, and we deal with entrepreneurship and owning and creating jobs just the whole entrepreneurial aspect with skill sets and training, because a lot of people get involved in this, not necessarily, I don't want to call it keep up with the Joneses, but keep up with the Air Jordans.
That's right.
Because, you know, these kids, you know, they see this lifestyle, everybody's balling and jewelry, and that's the thing, and $200 tennis shoes and all these type of things. But they don't, you know, it's so easy for, you know, Johnny on the corner to be standing there with a bag full of dope saying, hey, man, you can have this overnight. All you need to do is take some penitentiary chances with me.
Yeah.
And, you know, and it's an over, you know, the system in itself, with the prison being a for-profit facility, it kind of gets interesting on who's really, you know, zooming who. But the bottom line is that education and awareness and love, letting God do what he does. When we bring love, when we bring the anointing in the building, that we're just carrying that torch and being a vehicle that God can blow through and let him have his increase. You know, so many people are afraid to say the name Jesus, but when they have an ailment, they'll sit in their house and pray, oh, Jesus, oh, Lord Jesus, please help my son. But when it comes time to get out in the public or what have you, they want to be politically correct. Yeah, they're Christians, but their neighbors don't know they're Christians. Yeah, they're Christians, but the people at work don't know they're Christians, because they're not bold. They're not and I don't mean bold and overbearing, but God says don't be ashamed of the witness of Christ. You know, and so we have to realize that that's where the power's at, and our children of today have been desensitized to where that power comes from. You know, I talk to these young men about the power of David. You know, this ain't about, hey, you know, come join up with us, and you know, and we're the choir boys that you know, you're going to come and take our lunch money. No, no, we're not them guys. We're guys that are walking in the full authority and the power that we have in Christ Jesus in a season where he said he was going to pour his spirit out so abundantly upon the earth that no one should miss it, and that we're the head, not the tail, that we're more than conquerors, that we can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens us. And he's concerned about my life. If I'm in the seventh grade, if I'm in the sixth grade, if I'm a senior in college, if I'm a senior in high school, he's concerned about my relationship with my girlfriend. He's concerned about my relationship with my studies, and he's concerned about my relationship to grow into my manhood and understand where the power comes from and these principles that you need in order to win.
That's
and
right.
Many of them are tired of losing, but nobody's stepping up to the plate to show them how to win. You know,
yeah.
They have all these organizations and all these meetings, and they sit around and they talk about and identify the problem for 2-3 hours, then walk out frustrated and made no initiative to touch the ground with anything. If we get one out here, it's worth it for us to go.
That's right. And that's when we started the radio show a couple months ago. My whole theory was if there's one person out of the thousands that will hear it that turns their life around, then I'm, you know, I claim the victory for Jesus, you know?
That's right.
One person at a time, and that's what it takes.
That's right.
I think that your efforts are going to be rewarded in heaven. I think that you will be amazed at the, you know, the power your music will bring. And I hope for you that these projects open up some great avenues for these kids and adults. You got to give them something other than, as Jesus said, man does not live by bread alone. You know, these people need something of substance. They've been lied to and cheated on all their life.
That's right.
Some people I talk to, it's amazing that they're even still alive with the amount of drugs and things. And that, oh, yeah, my mom used to go to church, and yeah, and I'm not going to sit there on a bench and have people, you know. And it's like, what century are you living in? You know?
Right.
Well, if I listen to your show and my friends find out, they're going to laugh at me. Yeah.
Yeah, that's so, right. That's right. That's
What's your schedule like? Where are you hopping off to now?
Well, right now I'm going to be recording in Atlanta. We're recording the Big Boy song. We're recording Music Can Heal the World. And several other things. I've got a new project coming out called Fearless. And Big Boys is one of the songs off the Fearless album. So right now I'm doing some recording. I will be in Richmond, Virginia on the 12th and 13th of July. But I'm really kind of pulling back on my schedule to get some product done and just getting ready for this push for the fourth quarter. We're just really excited about releasing conscious music entertainment to the world. And so, you know, sometimes you have to go into the lab and hibernate a little bit and come back out with it.
I know. I'm trying to work on my Christmas album, and it's like, yeah, right.
Oh, wow. Yeah, do it. Do it.
Nothing
to it. Just do it.
I got to tell you, I am just fascinated by this. I hope in the fourth quarter you do come back and talk to us again. And, you know, I am impressed with your energy, your level of commitment, and all the things you stand for, the good things, you know. It's good and refreshing to talk to somebody who loves the Lord enough to, you know, be on the front lines for change.
Amen. Well, thank you so much, and thank you to all your listeners. And if you know, you're interested in hearing more of R&P and what we do with Rhythm and Praise, you can go to my website, which is soldoutcd.com. So like your soul, SOULEDCD.com. And yeah. Find out more about what we're doing, but
and they can get your actual merchandise there, or
they can you know, get the product there and hear the music, see the videos and the things that we've done, and hear more about what we're going to be doing in the community and so forth, and more about conscious music entertainment. And so yeah, that's a great place to go.
Good. Well, I give you all the hopes and prayers that
thank
you continue
we need
to be
those
successful.
Send those right in.
Yes. Yep. Slay those dragons. All right. Well,
yes.
Thank you, Kevin, and I hope to talk to you in the fourth quarter.
Well, so do I. I can't wait to come back and join you with all this new great stuff we're doing. It is going to be exciting. It really is. So I thank you for having me, and God bless you, and God bless all your listeners out there. Let's make a move. Go conscious.
Yes. Thank you. All right.
All right. God bless.
All right. So that was Mr. Kevin Lambert. And Mr. Engineer, do you have his song that was sent by any chance? Well, let's play it if you've got it.
Yeah, thank you, Jesus. I'm gonna tell you something. A lot of y'all out there think you're alone, but you got to know that he's watching. And this is for you. No matter where you're at in the world, you need to know that you got somebody. Now check this out. Hallelujah.
You got somebody watching over you.
Watching over you.
You got somebody.
You got somebody.
Just you wait and
just
see.
Just wait and see. Wait and see.
You got somebody.
Somebody.
Watching over you. Yeah.
You got somebody.
But just you wait and see.
Just you wait and see.
Okay, so your heart's broke. A little scattered here and there in your mind. You hear the streets keep calling, keep bawling. Booty hoo, one more time on the grind.
Ooh, yeah, yeah.
22s in the lack, spinning speakers, DVDs in the rack. Now holla, for sure, and that's the playaways. Rolling rubber bands around stacks on Cheddar Day, hey.
You got somebody.
You gotta move in here and there, and it's all about shot calling and bawling. What? Like you the leader of the Boy Scouts? Protecting but neglecting to resurrect the feeling of security. You got it all wrapped up in them sacks without the hope of purity. And you need to know you're not alone, and the game affects more lives than your own. Now come on, come on. What then shall separate us from the love of God? I am fully persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor spiritual principalities in high places, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, not width, not depth, that nothing in all creation shall separate us from the love of God. Hallelujah.
You got somebody.
You got somebody.
Just you wait.
things through Christ Jesus who strengthens you. Keep on loving each other as brothers and sisters. It's our turn. It's a new generation. And it's a new day. Now come on. You got somebody. Cause a new day is coming.
Take a look at your world. Cause a new day is coming.
Woo! All right. Now that is a song. Okay. So, like we did last week, we had the music first, and what an amazing song that is. And now we're going to go into the message, which I think is kind of interesting this week, because that was my first introduction to Kevin, and I was not aware of how powerful his music is, and it goes hand in hand with the message for today. So here we go. The series that I'm starting today is a continuation of a series I started on the other channel I was on and never got to finish. And it is Music and Worship. And today we're going to talk about the power of music, as I said earlier. You know, I did a lot of research on statistical things about, you know, what music does and stuff, and you're going to hear some of that. But, you know, when I speak of the power of music, I'm speaking of the power within you, the power that only comes from the Holy Spirit. So we're going to pick this series up. And for the next couple of weeks, we'll see how music impacts our lives, and both physical and spiritual. You know, people say, "I wish I had a voice like yours. You sound so pretty." Of course, the ability to sing well is a gift from God and should never go unused or not shared with other people. God gives you that voice for a reason. I believe just as there are flowers of different shapes and colors, there are voices just as varied. You know, some are high and some are low, and all are beautiful to God's ears. I think it would be awfully boring. In fact, I know it'd be awfully boring if we all sounded the same. I mean, what would happen to three-part harmony? And just like we always say, you know, God makes us unique. I think he gives us a unique voice, and a voice that he intends for you to use. So let's get to the crust of the pie and see what we can find out. And the first thing I want to say is that music often carries messages to our lives. You know, people write songs 9 times out of 10 for a reason. You know, each song is like a poem. It has a message or a theme. And for instance, let's talk about love songs. Oh, my goodness. How many of you, raise your hands because I can see you, when you were dating, had one song that was your song? Oh, my goodness. when a couple is in love, they're often attached to a song, and they call it their song because it triggers memories of intimacy and affection and all those gooey-wooey things. And even after they may not be together any longer, when that song comes on the radio or is played at a party or whatever, each of them will step back and say, "Oh, yeah, I remember Jimmy from high school. That was our song." So, you know, there's one way that music carries a message. And then I thought, okay, we'll go from happy to sad. And we can speak of depression without being depressed. And more often than not, people are going to associate that with country music, which is unfair because country music has taken quite a rap for, you know, I lost my love, I lost my dog, and so on and so forth. But today's country music is kind of a crossover, and it's happier. I'm not saying it's all happy. There's still sad songs, but people will always think of, if you say the word depression and you have to, you know, draw a line, they're always going to draw the line to country music. It's the way it is. Then we get into my kind of music, which is the 60s. I was a teenager raised in the 60s, and the music of the 60s had a very, very specific message. We were protesters. Every song, Peter, Paul, and Mary, and you know, everyone who had a song, it was time to protest. We protested the war. We protested against authority. We protested against anybody that wanted to tell us what to do or where to go. And some of us, old hippies, still feel that way. yeah, I'll stand up and say yes. And then, finally, there's a music that communicates anger and rage and defiance. And I'm not terribly familiar with it, but I've heard it, and that is heavy metal and rap. Often these genres of music are angry. They portray, you know, the negative, the rage and stuff. And so I'm guessing that's correct, because I can't understand a word that's being sung. But that's part of the secrecy or the anger. You know, only people that are into that music can understand it. Kind of sounds like the Masons, huh? Anyway, music communicates to us. In fact, and this was amazing, I couldn't believe this. One of the amazing parts of researching for this sermon. In fact, music's ability to communicate is so powerful that even the military recognizes its importance. Yeah, believe it or not, there is a Pentagon School of Music. I didn't know that, but there is. And in this school of music at the Pentagon, it takes 15 months of instruction to produce one band leader. 15 months. And that's assuming that these people already have undergraduate or graduate degrees in music. This is just teaching them how to be a band leader. Now, we take that 15 months, and by contrast, the Air Force takes 13 months to train a jet pilot. I don't know about you, but I'm thinking that's a little skewed, strange, huh? But it's true. That's the power of music, you know, power to communicate, power to inspire, power to change. And power to sometimes affect the actual function of your body. And here we go with another one. Music, and I know this for a fact, because it works on me this way. Music has a direct effect on the function of your brain. Now, for those of us like me who question whether we have a brain, it still works. It can slow down and equalize the brain waves and kind of create that oh-so-meditative state. Or it can energize your brain waves and quickening the thinking process. And what do you get? Enhanced creativity, energy, you know, woof. So even the cells of your body, and I thought this was really crazy, even the cells of your body respond to music. MSU did a study, and they found that even 15 minutes a day, that's it, 15 minutes of listening to positive music could increase the levels of your immune chemicals. For those of you that are HIV, listen to this. It is music, as I was saying, has a direct effect on the function of the brain. So MSU did this study, and as I was saying, 15 minutes of positive music a day, 15 minutes, could increase your immune system chemicals. And of course, your immune system is what fights diseases, and it lowers cortisol. And for those of you who don't know, cortisol is the stress hormone. When you're all wigged out, that's the hormone that starts going crazy. When you listen to music 15 minutes a day, that stress hormone is dropped by 25%. 25% is a lot. So what does this tell us? Again, music is a powerful force. And anyone who's in the music industry can tell you, you know, you can look at the faces and tell, are you touching people or are you not? You know, we're going to flip to Colossians 3, for those of you who have a Bible, and that does not, remember, include truck drivers, airplane pilots, or train engineers. You will have to look at this later on. Keep driving, please. Colossians 3, 15 through 16. Colossians is one of the books of the Bible that Paul wrote. Paul wrote about two-thirds of the New Testament. And in this passage, Paul is telling us that we need to use the power of music. Okay? And remember, when the apostles spoke, they spoke as a mouthpiece for God. So I decided to take the New King James Version. Why? Because I never get to open it that much. And this is what that passage says. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Okay? Let that peace rule, to which also you were called into one body. And be thankful. Right there, you know, it's Paul writing the passage. Paul forever and always says, be thankful. If you read a passage and it says, be thankful, you can bet it was written by Paul. It's a dead ringer at that point. And then he goes on to say, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching, and rebuking one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Different from a song. Singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Now, you may say rebuking is kind of the opposite of wisdom and teaching and grace. But what he's saying is, even if you have to correct somebody, do it with music. You know, God wants us to use music as a tool, you know, to strengthen us and encourage others. You know, music not only changes us, but it gives us the power to take control of our circumstances. Sounds not true, probably, but it is true. Ordinarily, we don't control our circumstances. They control us. Life can get us down. And brother and sister, I can tell you that. You know, people can be cruel emotionally, physically, and spiritually. And they can cut you, you know, right down. But we can end up being imprisoned, not in a jail, but imprisoned by these circumstances. I know a lot of people who are imprisoned by circumstances. Someone just continually harping at them and telling them they're no good and so on and so forth. The good news is that we don't have to be imprisoned. Here's one of my favorite stories when somebody says, I can't sing, I can't be happy, you know, my life is in the whatever. Here's one of the stories that I share with them. It's a pretty radical example, but here we go. It's in Acts, the book of Acts, chapter 16. And here we're reading the story about Paul and Silas, who are in the city of Philippi, which is where Paul's first church was. So it was kind of like his home base. And these guys were going about doing their thing as apostles, preaching and healing and casting out demons and all those cool things. Something about what they were doing really upset the authorities. I can't imagine what it is. And so the magistrate had them beaten with rods. That's got to hurt, even to think about it. Thrown into the inner part of the prison and placed into stocks. This was not right on anyone's scale or imagination. But it's what happened. And yet, at midnight that night, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. Now, here they are in prison in stocks. Hands are all, unable to be used. Standing on their feet for hours after being beaten. And suddenly, they start belting out a song and praising God. And little did they know, the prisoners around them were listening too. And they're thinking to themselves, these guys are crazy. Yeah. But the neat thing is, as they continued singing, suddenly there was an earthquake. So that the foundations of the prison were shaken so bad that the doors flew open, every door, and everyone's chains fell off, just mysteriously fell off. Yeah. So in short, I don't know why I would write that, because I'm short. Anyway, in short, conditions like these could have overwhelmed them. I know they would overwhelm me, but Paul and Silas were not overwhelmed. They were not beaten down. They were not defeated. They kept on praising God anyway. They refused to be controlled by their circumstances. They refused. They faced the unfairness of what they'd experienced, and they used singing and prayer as tools to escape. It's amazing. You know, I think of that story and I just think, wow, is that God or is that God? You know, the guards could chain their bodies, but not their souls. And they rose above their circumstances and they were free. So whenever you and I sing, we surround ourselves with music that glorifies God, and we are actively putting ourselves in the very presence of God. When you are singing and giving praises to God, it would be like you were sitting right there next to Him. And He literally lifts us up and changes us and our circumstances. There's no doubt in my mind. There's something even more powerful than this. I don't think that Paul and Silas intended to have others listening as they prayed and sang. But you're in prison. It'd be hard not to hear what's going on in the next cell. So these two, you know, during their singing and stuff, the whole prison was listening. These guys were listening. And as I said, they're thinking to themselves, oh, these two are crazy. They're singing, and you would have thought it was a church service, not a dungeon. But really, they weren't crazy. They were just so in love with Jesus that even prison didn't stop them from witnessing. And those people who were freed that day walked away with Christ. Yeah. Pretty interesting. I don't know if I'd want to be beaten with rods and stuff to reach people in a prison. I think I would just start a prison ministry. But, you know, I run across people all the time who say, I don't like to sing. You know, they've come to believe that their singing is an embarrassment. Embarrassment. They find themselves identifying with that 3-year-old who sang, I love you, Lord, and I lift up my noise. It doesn't matter whether it's noise to us. You know, there is an understanding and a documentation that about 40% of Christians have come to believe that singing should be left to those who can sing. They don't like to sing out loud, and they prefer to leave that to the choir, who can carry a tune. You know, I say there is no such thing as a bad voice when you are singing praises to God. God hears it as a melody. In fact, there's an Amy Grant song now. Anyway, when people visit me, when they come over to the house and visit us, I usually drag them down into my studio at one point in time to sing a song with me. And I assure them that nothing's being taped and, you know, they don't have to worry about it. We're just singing music. And they should try just to visualize that they're sitting next to Jesus. And they're singing. I don't care if it's something as simple as this little light of mine. You know, the fact is, to get them to open their mouth and sing. And eventually, even the shyest of friends has kind of opened up and joined me. And once they figure out how fun it is to sing without any condemnation or laughter, they really have a good time. Yeah, singing. Wow. What a novel concept, to use music for the power that it has in it. So, you know, I'm going to ask you a question today. And the question is not whether you can sing, all of us can sing, but whether you have a song to sing. If you don't belong to Jesus, you don't yet have a reason to sing. And it is my hope that you will continue to walk with me on this journey and learn to make a joyful noise. I think that's part of, you know, or a joyful sound to the Lord. that's why I, you know, try to put music on during the program every week. Whether you sing along is really your option. But until you start singing, you deprive yourself and God of really a blessing. He created you. Don't be afraid to use your voice. If anyone laughs at you, just turn the other cheek and keep on singing. Right? That's it. Amen. I want to hear everybody call me next week and sing a song to me. I think we have enough staff of people to answer the phone, right? And we can keep on going. So until then, God bless you. And remember to keep singing. Thank you for listening to The Journey 8. And please come back and join us again. Remember, be kind in all you do, and the kindness will come back to you. Grace and peace, Judy Hausner.